our identity in Christ. Our identity is often framed by the people around us, by the roles we perform, the jobs we have. I'm not particularly great at small talk, believe it or not. In some instances with a microphone, I'll do anything. So my usual opening line, if I'm at a party and you see that kind of lone guy standing there with a beer, feeling a bit nervous himself, and say, sort of sidle your way up, it's quite good because come with me. And so it's kind of, the conversation always goes, sorry then, Jeff. Sometimes I go to networking, they got badges, it's good, you know. What do you do for a living? It's not so good because it tells them on the badge what you do for a living often. Anyway, you know, I just don't know how to start. I'm married, as most of you know. I've got two lovely little boys, not so little actually, not so light either. I work in marketing. That doesn't say anything about who I really am, but if someone says, you know, tell me about yourself, that's kind of the first few things that tend to come out of my mouth. Yeah, there are plenty of men my age, my family situation, do a similar kind of job to me. But it says nothing about why we're different. So who am I? Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. I could go on, but not once do I remember reading in the Bible Jesus referring to himself as a Jewish carpenter. He knew who he was in his Father's eyes. And just knowing that gave him great strength for his incredible ministry. Traveling, healing, challenging, harvesting men, teaching, traveling some more, performing miracles. He lived an incredible life in such a short space of time because he knew who he was and he knew what God's plan for him was. Our identity can also be framed by our past. This can often be one of the most challenging things to overcome, whether it's a sin of your own, or it's a sin that's been committed against you, or a pain that you've experienced. Living under the cloud of those experiences can often stop you from seeing and being your true self, and they can become the very root of your existence. Joyce Meyer, the celebrated preacher and evangelist, she was abused as a child, and then she was abused again by her first husband. Well into her adult life, she carried the emotional scars of all those previous experiences, and she was an angry, overbearing, judgmental woman. These are her words, not mine. She says, all that I had grown up with, I had become. It was only after she realized that the kingdom of God isn't found in other things or other people, but it's found within us through the Holy Spirit, that she finally began to believe that her identity wasn't as an abused, troubled woman, but a wholly loved and blessed child of God, that she could begin to experience the true joy. Often we find it hard to describe ourselves in anything other than the basic terms, and we can look to others to try and do that for us, and to try and reveal our nature and personality, but this can be dangerous too. Firstly, we don't always reflect our true nature to those around us. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up if you play a role, whether it's at work or church or even worryingly at home. I know that whenever I go back to my parents' house for Sunday lunch and my sister's there, I immediately go from 40-year-old man into 15-year-old annoying younger brother and, you know, teach my kids everything that I probably don't want to teach them, just how to be with a sibling. But it's incredible how a different situation, you can just suddenly become someone quite different. Secondly, people often see in you what they want to see in you. That might be good. That might be bad. Maya goes on to say that although she had found Jesus, she remained without joy, peace, or victory in her life. Her lightbulb moment only came when reading Paul's letters to the Romans and Colossians. And she said, I made the classic mistake of trying to find the kingdom of God that is righteousness, peace, and joy in things and other people, not realizing the kingdom is within us. My joy and my identity had to be found in Christ alone. So walk by faith and not by sight or appearance. If your identity is still framed by your past, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says some amazing stuff. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here now. Verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'll read that again because it's so powerful. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. You need to receive the gracious gift that he gave us on the cross. The unconditional love. You need to be released from the sins of the past. Whether it's something that's been done to us, or something that we've done ourselves, or the sins that we've yet to commit. The guilt might stop you from embracing that. But he's already embracing you. He's already here. Don't let the enemy turn his knife in your wound, making you believe you're not worthy, because you are. You're all worthy. Whatever's going on in the back of your mind as I'm speaking, whatever's holding you down, doesn't matter. There is nothing that can separate you from his love. Nothing. The Colossians got this. Out of all the letters that Paul wrote, most of the time he was admonishing people. Colossians seemed to be the kind of the teacher's pet. All over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. And only by them understanding fully what that gift was. Only by understanding what that gift was were they able to make the world begin to change. Only God sees us holy. Only God knows truly what is in our hearts. He knows and made the real you, the broken, depressed, addictive, lonely, abusive person you might be behind the facade that you project. So to know your identity in Christ is to see yourself as he sees you. That's a masterpiece, fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't be defined by others' opinions of you, or your past, or your job, the job that you have, the car you drive, the success you may or may not have achieved. Focus your identity solely on the identity that God gave you. Jesus' gift to us was the Holy Spirit. Our personal God gene, I like to think of it, it's weaved into our DNA. Christ is in us. We sang that he's before us, he's beside us, he's behind us, but he's in us. Somewhere. He's also in this iPad somewhere. So you've got to find him. You've got to listen to him. But you've got to absolutely believe. You've got to let go of all the other stuff that stops you just grabbing hold of that. And follow it in your everyday life. Key to really believing this is in God's words, not mine. To be set free from your earthly identity and to walk in life with your identity in Christ, being the person he intended you to be, you must rest on his words. I didn't build this talk around a particular passage and a nugget I'm going to give you away to go away with. But basically, identity in Christ is something that Paul refers to over 160 times in his letters. So it's a pretty good place to start looking. To be in Christ means that you're learning to do all that you do with and for Jesus in the kingdom of God. It means you're being formed into an image of the Lord and you want other people to see Jesus when they look at you. That's a big thing. You want other people to see Jesus when they look at you. It's quite a tall order. Early on in my Christian life, I'd heard the phrase to be Christ-centered. Ever since, it's been something that I'm sort of aiming towards, but sometimes it feels like it's the end of the rainbow. And the more I kind of chase it, the further it seems to move away. Frustrated and disheartened, I often kind of give up pursuit, only to return sometimes with more vigor when I've regained that spiritual energy that we need. But it soon struck me that it's not as simple as wanting something enough. To become Christ-centered is to live the life that he intended us to live. If you've accepted Jesus into your life, you don't need to pursue him anymore. We've said he's in you. He's listening to this. I hope you get it. Lord, I hope you like it. What I've learned is, in order to truly believe that he's in with me, I've got to act in the way that he intended. I've got to do his works. Nothing Jesus did he do for himself. To fully accept the commission he gave us, we need to surrender our old life and live a new one. This is what it essentially means to be born again, to become fully a person in Christ. This is exactly what Paul achieved in his life. He went from one end of the spectrum to the other, being full of hatred to being full of compassion for the Lord. And look what he achieved. He was human, he was flesh and blood like the rest of us. He turned his life around and he understood completely that love of the Lord has been given to us, and he devoted the rest of his life to telling others. Just over a month ago, I turned 40, and I've never really been fussed about age or birthdays. I know, don't look it. And it's actually amazing. Thank you, darling. Always marry someone slightly older than you. It's actually quite interesting how I have become a lot more reflective, and even leading up to that, I hadn't really kind of given it a label, but I've been learning a lot about myself. I've been learning about the stuff that I do okay and the stuff that I don't do so well. I've learned that I like to call it a man of action. It doesn't mean I have a little switch in the back of my head that makes my eyes go like this. But I'm not very good at organizing stuff. I'm not very good at planning. Karen will testify to that. But I'm just good at just going and doing stuff. I don't think about it, but I'll go and do it. So I've come to realize that the more I try to behave in a Jesus-like way, to try and be slow to anger, to be patient with the boys, to be caring, gentle, and helpful to others, I feel more connected and bathed in his light. And I hope that when people are looking at me, they start to see a bit of Jesus looking back. I've become much more confident in my faith at work over the last year or so. I am the office Christian. Round of applause. It can be difficult once you've set that benchmark, though. Once you've actually stepped out and you've kind of said, I believe like this, people have a perception of how you should act, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. Don't always get it right. But actually having that benchmark and having an expectation can kind of help you keep in check. If I just do that, someone's going to think, see what the Christian did? I've often thought of the Holy Spirit as being my moral compass or my conscience. And I kind of find that quite an easy way. If you're thinking, do I do this, do I don't? It's not just my conscience I'm dismissing, it's the Holy Spirit. You kind of say, no, I better do that. So, we're nearly there. One of the things, we went to our first new wine last year, and it was just an amazing experience. It was brilliant to be surrounded with the people that we love so much at St. Matt's, and just to spend, you know, a week kind of just immersing ourselves in the word of the Lord, and just worship was incredible. And I kind of came away from that, you know, apart from the fact we wanted to set up a commune and just kind of live like that for the rest of our lives, it wasn't really practical. I came away thinking, I've got to do something. I can't just kind of get up, go to church, feed myself, try and be nice to people. I've got to do something more. So I became a street pastor, which has been fantastic. I really enjoy it. And if anyone was just thinking about, I have nothing to do between the hours of 10 and 4 on a Thursday, Friday, or a Saturday once a month, come and speak to me. But it is one of the most fantastic things I've done. It's a great opportunity to walk in an open and obvious way with Jesus. You know, when you're talking to a teenager outside the opera house, so why are you doing this then? That's my teenager voice. Sorry, a few teenagers. you know, you can just be very open. You say, we do this because we just want to serve the people around us. We want to serve our community. We're doing it because we're Christians and we love those around us. And we believe that this is what Jesus wanted us to do. And it is such a liberating thing to be that open and that relaxed about your faith and not try and keep it in a box that you think someone will or won't be upset by. And the great thing is that we do it purely for the service of others. It's a thing that's enjoyable for me to do, but, you know, it's for his glory, it's not for mine. But you don't need to undertake grand gestures to begin to live a more Christ-centered way. In every word you speak, every act you perform, try and let them glorify our Lord. It doesn't happen overnight, but every journey starts with a step. And on the days that you veer from the path, his word is there to guide us back on track. So my challenge to you now is to begin with every act and every word, let Jesus out. Could you just play the clip, please, Martin?
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me His child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me His masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
Love that. So, what is your calling? What gifts has he given you, and how can you be putting them to better use every day for his glory? Think of your life. Do you really and truly feel loved by God and free, or is there something pinning you down? Casting doubt and holding you back from living a life rooted in Christ? If there is, or you just don't quite know how God sees you, come to the front. If you can, get on your knees, and we'll pray with you. So just to close, a quick prayer. Father God, we ask that you fill us with the knowledge of your will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that we may live a life worthy of you, Lord, and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of you. Amen.